everybody, and welcome to episode 19 of Hardly Committed. Here, I'm TJ Walker.
Oh, hey, TJ Walker.
Here, I'm TJ Walker. Out on the streets, they call me Big Appraising T.
Well, I don't know what they call you, because Terry's Twitter handle's changed like four times.
Yes, I haven't found a good home for my Twitter handle. It's been a mess. That's Nick Roush talking, my producer that is kind of producing today, split with Trevor Kelsey, who does our radio show, Kentucky Roll Call, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 on Big X Sports Radio. You can call me whatever. But this is Hardly Committed, and we've got some recruiting stuff to talk about. We're going to have to make this episode a little bit shorter today because we're pressed on time for recording purposes. It's a busy time of the year, but let's dive right in with, I guess, some personal news. I will be leaving KSR and pursuing my lifelong dreams as a little boy as being a real estate appraiser. A lot of people think I'm a real estate agent, like I'm going to be selling houses. No, I'm going to be telling you what your house is worth after going through, walking through it, checking out all your belongings. Just kidding, belongings don't matter. All I'm doing is the house.
Look at stuff.
House, yeah.
You're like, oh, they have jewelry.
No, well, don't do that. I'm not appraising jewelry.
I'm going to have your jewelry.
No, not that.
Jewelry.
But no, I've been working towards that for about 2 years, and in 2019, it's going to get busy, and it's going to get, I'm going to have to start taking some tests and doing some stuff to become certified, and you have to have like 2 years of experience under your belt, so I've gotten that part down, and now it's the heavy lifting time, and unfortunately, there just won't be enough time in the day to be doing the daily updates at KSR. I will still be doing a radio show. I'll still be following recruiting because I love recruiting, so I'll still be keeping tabs on that. I'll still have my sources. I probably won't touch base with them almost on a daily or every other day basis, but I'll still be able to talk to people when I need news. So that's not going to change. I'm still going to be tweeting and talking and doing all that fun stuff about UK basketball recruiting. That's not going to no differences there. Just won't be writing posts on KSR about that stuff. So I won't be writing posts anywhere. Writing, I'm done for now. That could always change, but I'm done for now.
The secret is that you actually lost your hands and you've lost the ability to type. And that's why you're getting out of it.
Got to get out of the game. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, but, in the podcast game, still going to be doing Kentucky Thrones Radio when that comes around this spring.
Kentucky Thrones Radio and going nowhere.
Nowhere. Because that actually was there before you were ever a part of KSR or I was a part of a radio show with you.
Yep.
That's where it all started.
Yeah, we weren't even like, happened. I don't even know how we even started doing that. We can talk about that maybe on a Kentucky Thrones Radio episode, which will be coming to you in 2019, the new season coming in in April 2019. But we're going to do some preview episodes, as you know. But you aren't listening to Hardly Committed to hear about Kentucky Thrones Radio. You're listening to Hardly Committed to either listen to about The Office, which we'll get to later, or you're listening because you want some recruiting news. And I say, we get in to that recruiting news. And I forgot to send out a tweet asking for your questions, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right, so Matthew Hurt visits. We've talked about that. Next, he's going to take his visit to UNC this weekend. Check out the Tar Heels and what they have to offer. And here's the deal. He's still not going to announce till April. So I like where Kentucky stands right now with Matthew Hurt. I've said that for a long time. You're starting to see the national guys come around on that idea, which always makes me feel a little bit better. And two, if Matthew Hurt ends up going somewhere else and people like get mad at me, I can be like, listen, other analysts thought the same thing too. Everybody's coming around to the idea that if Kentucky isn't the leader, I think most people have them in the top two. When we had Jake Weingarten on last week, he thought it was Kentucky and Memphis. Memphis came out of nowhere, in my opinion. A lot of people think Kansas because Matthew Hurt played for Bill Self this summer on the USA team. Some people think Duke just because Matthew Hurt's white and Duke does some good things with white guys. I don't really hear too many people saying UNC, but now you almost have everybody, if not saying Kentucky's the leader, that the Cats are right there and a major threat in his recruitment. And I find that to be true. I think the family really likes Kentucky. I think the family thinks Kentucky can use him in a really important way, and especially an important recruit, as Kentucky has missed out on a lot of guys, a lot of big targets in the class of 2019. So he can be the guy on the front court. I think that's important to him, where he wouldn't be the guy on the front court at UNC. He wouldn't be the guy on the front court at Memphis. He wouldn't be the guy on the front court at Duke. Kansas is the only one where potentially he could be as well. And you got to watch out for the Jayhawks relationship, like I already mentioned. But I will say, that FBI cloud that's going to be hanging over Kansas. The NCAA has already said, like, hey, this year, everything's going to be all right. Nobody's going to get a postseason ban for the 2000. Yeah, you're not going to get a 2019 postseason ban. You're not going. We're not going to hand down punishments for this season. So enjoy it while you can. Arizona, Kansas, Louisville, all these other programs. They didn't say anything about 2020, though. And that's when Matthew Hurt will be playing in the NCAA tournament. So I think without a doubt, they are going to, they'll be looking at.
They'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, they'll be looking at that when making their recruiting decisions. It's been a little hectic because Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio,
yep,
he tweeted out that there could be some major Kentucky basketball news today. And I'm getting a lot of text messages while I'm doing this podcast. I wish we could do this just a few hours later because I think we would probably know. And then I'm trying to work to kind of find out on my own what it could be, but could be some potential news. We'll talk about that if it breaks during this podcast, but most likely it probably will not. So there's Matthew Hurt. I kind of want to run down the list of recruiting targets. And I want to talk a little Kentucky, but we have to make this a little bit shorter of a podcast.
Here's a question for you. Big deal or no deal?
What a deal.
Number one player in the class, Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Is not going to take an official visit to UK.
That's a big deal, obviously. Would you, you know, when you were choosing your colleges, would you go take a tour of a place that you weren't even considering at all?
Yeah, no.
Probably not, unless like you went to Harvard just because you were in Boston and you just wanted to go check it out just for shits and giggles. But no, you wouldn't. And I don't think he ends up at Kentucky. The fact he's not taking an official visit is not good news. Now, Kentucky still thinks they could potentially get him on an unofficial visit. And at the end of the day, if that happens, an unofficial visit can be just as informative, just as good, just as positive as an official visit. You're just paying for it on your own, and that's not a big deal for a lot of these recruits and their families. However, he got to pick five places he wanted to go see and have the school pay for him. Those are basically guaranteed visits. He didn't want one of those schools to be Kentucky. So I would think that Kentucky's not they're not in a good spot. Now the good news is Kentucky should be loaded at the guard position for next year. Anthony Edwards is an amazing player, a great player, going to be a difference maker at the college level, but won't probably be going to Kentucky. All right, now I want to touch on Keon Brooks. It could have a decision in the next month, he has told reporters. I still think Kentucky's trailing IU. I think it's kind of just a matter of time before he picks IU. But Kentucky has given him a lot to think about. And relationship with the family is – I think the Brooks family has a better relationship with Kentucky staff than any other school on his list. He's still considering UCLA, Michigan State, UNC, and IU in Kentucky. Michigan State, some people think they have a chance. I'm not so sure. I think it'll be Kentucky or IU. Maybe Michigan State on the outside looking in. I think it's going to be IU with maybe a chance Kentucky gets in because of those relationships. But at the end of the day, I've been told there's so much pressure for him to stay at home at Indiana to join Trace Jackson Davis, his former teammate, good friend. They play together. Keon Brooks has talked about how, and I think he's also considering Purdue, but that kid's not going to Purdue. But I think he's also, there's a lot of pressure to stay home. He has talked about how important it is to represent Indiana and Indiana basketball. So I think that wins out despite the great relationships with Kentucky staff, but not impossible. Probably unlikely, but not impossible. Let's go to Jaden McDaniels, Kentucky. And Kentucky watched Keon Brooks. They watched Keon Brooks and Isaiah Stewart over the weekend.
Is there – I feel like we kind of shut the door on Isaiah Stewart. Is it still cracked open?
It's been cracked. I think I've been the one that telling you to like shut it just because I don't think he's going to end up at Kentucky. But Kentucky's perspective is that door's still cracked. Maybe even depending on who you talk to, that door's still open. What I've been told with Isaiah Stewart is that Kentucky, that he visits. Seemingly the kid really likes it. The dad is like infatuated with the place and UK staff and the idea of I can turn your son into the number one draft pick. Why would you not want to go here? Can Michigan State do that? Can Duke do that? I can do it. I can get your son to be the number one draft pick. I've done it with bigs time after time. I heard the dad was like, you know, drooling after these sales pitches. A lot of people in Isaiah Stewart's circle, though, and a lot of people were like, seriously, you're going to go to Kentucky? You cut them in April. you cut them again in June or July. They haven't been on your list in forever. These other schools are making you a priority. They're doing everything they can, and you're just going to take a school that just started picking you up because they didn't feel good about some of their other big targets. Are you kidding me? A lot of people in Isaiah Stewart's circle don't want him to go to Kentucky. And guess what? These are the people in a circle that you're seeing Tom Izzo take pictures with. You're seeing Coach K take pictures with. It's because they feel like they're boys. And job well done with Tom Izzo and Coach K. They feel like they're boys with these people, with their handlers and these Klingerons. And they want, and they're the ones that are, feel like they can push Isaiah Stewart. And I think these coaches know, hey, these people have some influence on him. Let's be friendly with them. Knowing that as soon as they get a commitment from Isaiah Stewart or don't get a commitment from Isaiah Stewart, they'll never talk to these jokers ever again. Kentucky's trying to pitch the kid and the family, and that, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be winning out as of right now. So Kentucky's keeping that door cracked. They're keeping that door open, and I'm told that there's been a few times. You know, they went and visited him about a month ago. They went and watched him play on Saturday, and every time it's kind of like, hey, let's get serious. You're talking about your future. You're not talking about your friend's future. You're not talking about your boy's life. This is your future, and every time Kentucky feels like they're receptive of it, but it kind of just ends at that, at least is the way I read the situation. It just kind of ends at, yeah, you're right. We love that. That's given us a lot to think about. And then that's that. They move on. So make of that what you will. I hate using cliche phrases like that. I don't think they get Stewart. I don't think they get Brooks. But Kentucky's still recruiting both of them, still going after them. They also watched Jaden McDaniels, who put on a show in New York. The timing worked out well. Kentucky plays Seton Hall. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And then they watched Jaden McDaniels, and you know,
went up against the Irish Hulk.
Yeah, Aiden Igihon. And they beat him by like 40. They killed him. Aiden Igihon plays on a really bad team. He puts up unreal numbers, but he's on a really bad team. Good player, physical player. Kentucky never offered him. He'll go to Louisville, and he'll probably have a nice career for the Cards. Jaden McDaniel, better player. Guy Kentucky really wants. I don't really have anything new here besides the fact that it's going to come down to if Jaden wants to leave the West Coast. And if he does, I think he goes to Kentucky. I would be really surprised, and watch this end up happening because that's just the way the world works. I'd be like really surprised if he picked Texas because that's leaving the West Coast. That's going really far away, and that's going to play for Shaka Smart, who has underachieved with some really good talent since he took over the Longhorns program. I don't see him doing that. I don't see him going to UCLA. I see him either going to San Diego State because his brother played there. I don't really see that. I do think it could come down to just Washington and Kentucky, to be honest with you, now that I'm kind of talking it out loud. Yeah. And if he wants to leave, I think he'll go to UK, and I think he'll be an important piece for them. I've been asked on Twitter how he would mesh with a Khalil Whitney. You know, those two almost got in a fight. Kristen Peake came on Hardly Committed and dropped that news. But I think Khalil Whitney would move more to the 3/4 role, and you'd have Jaden be like a 3-2, mostly a 3. But he'll play outside. A lot of people comparing him to Kevin Durant. The only thing that bugs me a little bit about Jaden McDaniels is it just intensity. I just wish he had a little bit more intensity. I wish he could. It looks like he's not playing 110% all the time. And you sometimes see that with players in high school. And it's because things come so easy to them. It's like because they don't have to. Now, you push me and you pressure me, I'm going to step my game up a little bit. But if I can score on people without having to break a sweat, I'm going to do that. But so many times we see that type of player in college and they can't kick it to that next gear. That they things do look easy to them and they just can't really get that killer instinct. That's the only little thing that worries me about Jaden McDaniels is the killer instinct. But skill-wise and talent-wise, you know, James Wiseman calls himself the unicorn because he's so unique as a basketball player. Jaden McDaniels is more unique. I mean, he's legitimately like a 6'11" guy, still growing, has guard handles, can put it on the floor and pull up from anywhere. Nice shot. You don't see players like him all that often. I think Kentucky's in a good spot for him. All right, I think that's the 2019 guys. A lot going on, a lot happening in 2020, but we'll save that for another day. We got to talk a little bit about the Kentucky game. They lose to Seton Hall. Really bad loss. We've had some time to digest it. Seton Hall is just not a good team, and it's not a team Kentucky should be losing to. I think it is time. I think it's officially time to kind of take a step back and say this Kentucky team's not the team we thought they were going to be. I think they're ranked 19th now in the AP poll. That's probably accurate. I think they're a fringe top 20, top 25 team with where they stand now. Nick, I still believe this team has enough talent come March to be really, really dangerous. People that sleep on Calipari generally wake up in a nightmare because he seems to be able to turn things around quickly. You never can count that dude out, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be the idiot that says throw away this season. But they're going to have more losses than I think people anticipate.
Well, and I think it's going to start and finish with Ashton Hagans, because we saw him 2 games ago against UNCG really take a step forward defensively, shutting down the magician from Malaga and also attacking the rim. But I think you get like baby steps of it, but in that late game situation when people didn't really know what they were doing, I think that's on having a point guard who hasn't been in that situation before, who's supposed to be a high school senior. Kentucky's going to be successful later in the season because of Ashton Hagans. The other guys are close. Tyler Hero just has to find his shot. Kentucky's offense was generating some good looks for him. Now, do they need to shoot some more threes? I think so. We saw that in Jack Pilgrim's post last night.
Hitting some more threes.
But yeah, if you just hit your open looks, it makes all the difference in the world. So those will start falling, and Hagans will develop. I'm not too worried overall, but it is just it's gut-wrenching to lose when that team didn't make a shot for 12 minutes, and then they start hitting double clutch fadeaways with time running out to go up three.
Yeah.
Like contested looks, too. And I think that's why when you got dudes hit contested shots, that people are running at 3-point shooters in overtime.
And boy, Calipari just had to call a timeout there. So many instances to call a timeout, and he didn't do it on any of them.
Yeah.
But goodness gracious. After Hagans goes 1-of-2 from the line, why don't you call a timeout and get your defense back in the half court? Settle down a little bit and at least talk to them about the situations. He doesn't do it then. All right, they hit a three with 9 seconds left. I understand in this instance wanting to run because at that point you want to get the defense off guard. The same thing Seton Hall did to Kentucky after UK didn't call a timeout. Cal wants to do Seton Hall. I understand that. It's still an opportunity to take a timeout to talk about things, but still, I understand that. But when Ashton Hagans starts to bring the ball up the court slowly and he doesn't cross half court until 5 seconds are left in the game, at that point, Cal had to call a timeout. And yes, I know, Cal can't call a timeout in that situation, but I guarantee you, if he starts yelling timeout, somebody's going to listen, and somebody's going to call a timeout for him. So basically, he can call a timeout. So he should have, and I think that hurt Kentucky's chances to win the game. But, you know, if they win that game, if they lose that game, if you win it, it's really cool because that Keldon Johnson shot will be remembered a lot more. But you still would be like, man, this team's got some flaws. Like, this team is playing teams that are not good basketball teams, and they're playing down to their level. The only good news for Kentucky is, like you said, Nick, they probably should have won that game. Seton Hall did some crazy, crazy things late. Kentucky was missing bunnies throughout the game, missing three-pointers throughout the game. That's fine. Kentucky will get a chance, though, to make things right this month. They're going to beat Utah by a bunch on Saturday, and then it's UNC, and then it's Louisville. If you can win both those UNC and Louisville games, you're getting through December. Great, you're fine. You're fine. You're finishing the out-of-conference with the exception of Kansas in January, but you're finishing the out-of-conference slate, the big out-of-conference slate, with only 2 losses. I think that would be a fair thing to push a button at the beginning of the year and say, yeah, let's do it. I mean, 1 loss would have been ideal, but 2 losses you can survive with. 3 gets a little bit dicier, but you can still be okay. 4 is not good. 4 is not good, because then you still have 9 true road games left on the season. Even if you split those, you're having 8 or 9 losses. Still have Kansas. You're getting closer to double-digit losses if Kentucky loses both UNC and Louisville. So later this month, things are going to be huge.
They're heating up.
They are heating up. Still, any update on what the major news was?
Nope, but
by the time people listen to this, they'll know what the major news was.
So much speculation on my group chat, though.
A lot of people think it could be Quade Green.
Ooh, there's also Nick Richards whispers. And surprisingly, I haven't seen maybe just somebody got injured in practice.
It could always also be the injury news.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I think if it was injury news, don't you think we'd have the Instagram or social media post of I love you. You're my brother.
Yeah. I mean, is Jamal Baker...
Could be Major. Jamal Baker transferring. Hey, we saw a little bit of Jamal on Saturday, though.
No, we got 1 minute.
Yeah.
Not just one. I'd like to see a little bit more than 1 minute of Jamal Baker.
Well, maybe we'll get none if he transfers.
Oh, that'd be a real shame. I like number 13. Number 13.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Could it be... I hate that we're doing this and we don't know what the news is, but that's all right.
It's kind of our luck with this.
Always, it's always something like
we've
this.
We've been really good at talking about it.
All right. Hey, Tyrese Maxey and Dante Allen, we got to talk about those guys just briefly. They've been great, and Khalil Whitney too. Khalil Whitney, I just don't seem to get like his stats sent to me as much as the other guys, so sorry about that. He's a really good player. He's going to be Kentucky's best commit heading into the season, in my opinion, regardless of who else they get, even if it's Matthew Hurt, even if it's Jaden McDaniels. Isaiah Stewart would be the only one that I would be like, all right, maybe he's a little bit better than Khalil Whitney. I think Khalil Whitney is going to be an absolute stud for Kentucky. But Maxey and Allen is just putting up unbelievable
Allen
numbers.
Allen has surprised me, too, because, like, but it does reinforce what he did on the AAU circuit. Now he's taking it onto the high school level, and I encourage you to go watch him play this year.
Yeah, he had 45 points again on Monday. I don't know what his average is at. It's got to be above 40 points on the season, though.
Has to.
It's been an unreal run for him. And is the competition he's playing against, is it the best in the state? Probably not. Some of these teams are actually pretty bad. But to still be able to score 45 points, 52 points, 54 points, all these different totals that he's had this season, you've got to be a damn good scorer. And it's not like he's just a 6'11", 300-pound center that could just keep missing his own shot until he makes it. He's not. He's doing it from the perimeter. He's putting it on the floor, getting to the rim. He's pulling up from 10 and 12 feet and scoring. He's doing it all. He's a good scorer. He's going to be a good player for Kentucky. Maxey putting up good numbers as well. Not as good as Allen, but the competition probably a little bit better. He goes against RJ Hampton on Friday night. I'm told that the plan right now isn't for Kentucky to travel down and see him, but that could change. They're worried a little bit about the game on Saturday, and if you have just any sort of flight delays, then you're having an assistant coach not get to the game. So that you wouldn't want that. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll change heart, because I think they feel like they've got a decent shot at RJ Hampton, and obviously they love Tyrese Maxey. He's a commitment. So that'll be a really good game on Friday. If there's a stream, I'll tweet it out. I think that's it for recruiting. You want to head on over to the Annex, talk a little office?
Let's go.
Unless you have some big breaking news.
No, let's go to the Annex.
All right, to the Annex we go. Welcome to the Annex.
We made it.
Another Christmas edition of the Annex here. If you're unsure what the Annex is, it's our podcast within a podcast, and we break down every single episode of The Office, and we have a pretty good time doing it. And the best Christmas special, Christmas-themed episode in the history of television, a two-parter, a Benihana Christmas.
Wow, what a gem. What a gem.
Trevor, you want to hop in and talk Benihana Christmas with us?
Let's get Trevor in on the show. Come
Trevor
on.
Looks so surprised. He didn't see that coming. You want to talk a little Benihana Christmas, buddy?
Best Office Christmas episode.
There we go. They heard him say episode, too.
They did. Trevor's our producer on our morning show, Kentucky Roll Call. We go 8 to 10 Monday through Friday on Big X Sports Radio. Trevor, you're making your Harley Committed debut.
Hello, everybody.
There he is. All right, Benihana Christmas. Where do you all want to start? I think it starts with the awkwardness of Michael photoshopping his head on his girlfriend's ex-husband's face on a skiing trip that they had previously taken.
Pretty bold move.
Pretty wild. I mean, Carol's pretty likable. So Carol is actually Steve Carell's wife. People know that? You all know that?
Yeah. Real life.
That is his real wife in real life. You know, the fact that Carol was her real estate agent? Was his real estate agent.
She sold him the condo, right?
Sold him the condo.
Saved a lot of money.
Saved a lot of. Goodbye, my lover.
I don't know
Goodbye,
what that song is.
My friend. What's that?
I didn't know that song. That
You didn't know that song?
No.
Are you kidding me?
I guess it's just a snippet that I couldn't pull out the rest of it, but
you've never, that is like, oh boy, Nick, you got dumped at Outbacks and stuff like that.
I know.
Hilarious story. James Blunt, Goodbye My Lover. If you ever even had like a girl tell you that she wasn't interested. You went back to your room as a freshman in high school and you blasted James Blunt, "Goodbye, My Lover." Yes. That's just what you did.
Never
did
Not that. Me. I used to listen to Cyndi Lauper time after time.
Time after time.
I went through that cassette so many times I couldn't tell you.
So it's that was hilarious that Michael did that, and it is just the little snippet that that he plays because he don't want to buy the whole song. But he plays the good part. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
I love that right before he dumps her, or she dumps him, that he's like, everybody take a look at that butt. It doesn't quit.
Yeah. God bless her. Carol is a sweetheart.
I mean, she put up with his proposal at the Diwali. Like, just all kind. The fact that it lasted that long really is a miracle.
The Diwali thing should have been the deal breaker. And he does end up having... And he kind of low-key... Yeah. And he proposes to her.
And he throws under the bus at that, doesn't he? Because then he take off his extra heads and act like she's the only one that showed up that way.
Yeah, he does. And he even tries to kind of like make a move on Pam there. Not a good... Carol... Michael doesn't handle the Carol relationship in an appropriate way. And proven more so because he breaks up with the girl that he wants to propose to and gets engaged to. And then what's the next thing he's doing? He's flirting with a few waitresses at Benihana. You all ever been to a Benihana's? In Louisville, right?
Is that a chain?
Yeah, I think it is. Okay, I think it's just like, like where they cook in front of you.
Right.
I've never even been to
like a Shogun.
Is it supposed to be like pretty girls there or something? Or was that just part of the episode was that they've got.
I don't think so. Okay. But I don't know. I've never been to a Benihana's. But I think it's just they were cute waitresses that Andy and I do love that Dwight has to sit on the other side of the table.
Well, and especially when he could have been like, "Hey, can you just scoot over one?" And they're like, "No, don't disrupt those people. They're on a date."
Anybody would be, yeah. And Michael's like, "I'm sure they're so happy together." But anybody would be like, "Yeah, here, sit with your friends. We'll scoot down too." You know?
Exactly.
Anybody would do that.
Reasonable, especially at a place like
that. And the fact that they didn't makes me happy that Michael thinks it's family style and tries to pick food off their plates, which is also incredibly cringeworthy and awkward.
Incredibly awkward.
He's like, "Family style." And Jim's like, "No, it's not."
She's asking, how do you dress a duck?
All right, you got to take it by its neck, and then you cut, and you got to hold it upside down. That way you don't get too much blood. That's great.
I forgot that's the cold open too. He comes in with the duck, right?
Is that the one with the duck?
Yeah, he comes in and they're like, "Dwight, what did we tell you about bringing live animals into the office?" And he says, "Wait, in fairness, this one was already dead. I found it dead."
It was the goose, yeah, and the big goose.
They became friends. They gave it a name when he brought in the one duck.
Yeah, so people got attached to the duck.
You ever had duck?
I have. Yeah,
it's delicious.
I've had a lot of meats.
It could be a little. Gamey, but or a little greasy, but it's great with like some meringue.
You're a little greasy.
Oh,
you're great with a little meringue. So they're at Benihana's. He meets the girls. No way in hell, in a real life scenario, do two waitresses from Benihana's come back to a company work Christmas party.
Yeah.
During the day.
Yeah, especially like a lunchtime
thing. Yeah, I love that he gives her the bike though. He feels so
proud.
Obviously,
his bike.
Yeah, he feels so proud. Like, "Oh, I'm Big Michael. I'm gonna give away a bike for charity. I'm trying to show people up." And then he ends up just giving it to a waitress that gives him a little bit of attention. And they go to the party. They have a good time. A lot of drama between the classy Christmas and the karaoke Christmas. Which one are you going to?
Oh, definitely the margarita Christmas.
The food looked better at the classy Christmas. I'll be honest.
But
I do like that they have like a food limitation on what Kevin can eat.
So Angela's got brownies.
Double fudge.
And double fudge.
Double fudge brownies.
But the other party doesn't have Angela.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a tough one.
Yeah, it is tough. The food was better at the classy Christmas. No ifs, ands, or buts about. Or what was it? Nutcracker Christmas?
Yeah.
Nutcracker
and I'm also
Christmas.
Partial to Nutcracker. Used to go all the time as a kid. So I like the Nutcracker, but still.
I thought only girls went to Nutcracker. And this is, TJ's naive learning experience. But I thought that was geared towards younger girls.
Well, I mean, I was a kid. I mean, it's geared towards kids. It's your introduction to the ballet.
So not girls.
It's a nice production.
So it's
everybody.
Geared towards young
you
men.
You can watch it too. Macaulay Culkin made a version that's on Netflix that you can watch.
I'll check it out. My sister always went. I never got the invite.
Oh, wow.
Because I was told it was geared towards girls.
Well, they told you wrong. It's geared towards everybody.
Yeah.
Great show. By the way, My favorite part of this whole thing, though, is the Angela versus Karen Filippelli, because she was very crude to Karen during the time. And this isn't the time that when she says that orange is whorish, though, to Phyllis. That was different, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was different. But Angela, she has a history of being sharp during these party planning committee meetings. And the saying that the raffle was stupid might have been the biggest shots fired.
It is this one, by the way.
That orange is whorish?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I thought green was whorish.
So Angela is just being completely crude. When karaoke, A, one of my favorite things to do, especially with Christmas karaoke, B, who doesn't like trying to win some money? So Angela, she had a stick up her butt. She went so far as to, I mean, when she was fighting fire with fire, stole the karaoke cord.
Yeah, low-class move.
Very low-class. But is it lower class than having the flyer go up right above the other flyer?
Hey, it's a free market. You can advertise as you see fit.
I like that Dwight wanted to be on the pit committee to approve the committees.
I love that as well. So the parties are rocking and a rolling, and I think one of Trevor's favorite scenes, he talks about it all the time. He mixes up what girl he was flirting with from the Benihana's waitresses, because both are of Asian descent.
Trevor, you've done that before, right?
You know what they say, I've been drinking, plus all waitresses look alike. So I mean, that is one of my favorite scenes of that entire series of The Office, is just the Roy and Jim space when he gives that line. Clearly, they're just trying their best not to laugh and break character.
Yeah.
I love it. And then he marks her arm, and, hey, there you are. And she is my girl behind the door here? You see me. Oh, yeah, there you are. Maybe she's in this popcorn thing.
God.
And then when he's talking to Jim about it later on, he's like, I gave her my bike.
Yeah.
I like that they serenade both of them.
Yeah.
With Your Body is a Wonderland.
Bold move with a girl that you've just met. Yeah. Like, very sensually seeing, looking in their eyes, Your Body is a Wonderland.
Yeah. Awkward move.
And I also like that they, like, are in college. Michael is, I think, 40, over 40.
She's definitely there just for the bike.
Well, how would she know the bike was there, though?
I think she was there for free drinks in general or
I think she was there for free drinks, and still never would have done that in a million years. But
at least
they break Michael's heart, both of them, again, when they decide to leave the party. And Jim tries to get them to stay. They are not interested. They leave, takes the bike with them, which is hilarious. But this is a cool Jim and Michael moment when Jim tells him, like, listen, you've had a rough go. You got dumped today. Some other girls weren't interested in you because they are significantly younger and out of your league. You gave them your bike. You're having a bad day. But spins it and says, listen, you just had a rebound.
Yeah.
You were able to move on from Carol, and you'll be able to move on moving forward. Mm. Now, I think Michael has a little bit of a destructive pattern in his life, because he instantly goes and calls Jan and invites her to Sandals, Jamaica.
Yeah.
Oh, the third person that he invites to Sandals, Jamaica.
I do like how he's telling Jim, he's like, I was really in love with her, and Jim, because I've literally known you your entire relationship with her. You did not love her.
And he's like, yeah, I marked her arm.
Yeah, I marked her.
And then in a twist, Jim has some self-realization. He's like, ooh, maybe Karen is just my rebound. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
I'm a rebounder.
Yeah, he has that little thing where he's like, you always keep thinking about the girl that broke your heart.
Yeah. And he's just looking at Pam and Karen being
friends. Karen, just the biggest victim in the Office show.
Yeah.
Nobody is a bigger victim than old Karen.
Karen of Filippelli.
They went so far as to destroy her copier.
Yep.
They're just trying to attack her.
They did.
Must be Italian.
They did. Also, I like the part. This is kind of an underrated part of it. When they combine the parties, you know, and everybody's happy and they're having a good Christmas time, and Angela's singing A Little Drummer Boy, because naturally that's what anybody would sing on a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
Not. Oscar comes in with Gil.
Yeah.
And then they instantly turn around. He's like, too soon. Not ready to introduce him to their partner, Gil. Which that would have been electric had it happened.
I did love Kevin's doing the Alanis Morris set, by the way, too.
Yeah.
On the karaoke.
You.
He's like in the corner of the cafeteria, too, for some reason. I don't know why. I forget why they're in there.
Yeah. So he calls Jan, and they go to Sandals, Jamaica. That's hilarious. That results in great episodes that we'll hopefully get to at another time.
Ooh.
But what do you got?
I've got a we've got one of those tweets, an ambiguous tweet.
What's the ambiguous tweet?
It's from Rex Chapman 22 minutes ago.
What'd it say?
Playing basketball at the University of Kentucky is not easy. The weight of expectations can be crushing for young people. Meeting expectations can never be the mindset. Exceeding expectations is key. This place isn't for everyone. If it was easy, anyone could do it. And there's the more you know gif.
Oh, so that would seem to think that it's Quad A.
Yeah.
And of course, again, when people are listening to this, they'll know exactly who it is.
But hey, you got to listen to us just figure it out. We just put the pieces together. Just
sure
like
did.
Jim realizing, oh, wait, I still love Pam.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And wait, I lost my little notes of what I was going to go with. Oh, yeah, and then Pam gets really sad when he sees Jim and Karen exchanging gifts.
What was the DVD they gave each other?
Give me a second. Give me a second.
They gave each other the same movie.
I just watched it.
I haven't even watched it for a little while, this is like not me knowing the answer. I'm asking you literally, what was it? I forget.
Oh, girl, well, I kind of wish you did know.
Yeah, I thought you knew the answer, Trevor.
Isn't it the Sandra Bullock movie, though?
Ooh, I think it is. Is it the one where, is it time traveler one, where Keanu Reeves?
No, it wasn't that. The Bridget Jones Diary, maybe?
No.
I know it's not Sandra Bullock.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, we'll move past that.
Maybe I should have thought about it.
Yeah, maybe so. I thought you had it. You didn't. That's okay.
This is why it took 20 episodes to get me on.
Yeah. All right. Let's. Where did I want to end it? There was something, one more little part I wanted to get to. Oh, they play the prank on Dwight. That he's got a secret CIA mission.
Oh, yeah. Jim ends up deciding, okay, I'm going to go through with this.
Yeah. And then they end up having Dwight destroy his phone. Which never seems like a big deal to Dwight.
It was Bridget Jones' Diary.
Way to go.
Trevor!
Thank you.
See, that's why we let him on this episode.
So, great Benihana Christmas. I think the best Christmas episode around. A lot of fun. Any fireable offenses in this one?
Did they change the rule that you can drink at Christmas parties now?
Yeah, we'll just assume that's allowed.
Okay.
A lot of companies will allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Michael broke a couple laws, but I don't know if it's...
What laws did he break?
I mean, wasn't he like harassing like waitresses pretty much?
No.
It's not a law.
He didn't like force them back to the Christmas party. And marking a girl's arm is not a fireable offense. I don't think there's any fireable offenses here. I mean, Angela stealing the cord would be reprimanded.
She's snappy at some of her coworkers.
Very snappy at some of her coworkers, yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Good for them. Good for
job.
The gang.
You
not getting
it.
Fireable offenses during the Christmas episode. All right, we're out of time. Thank you for listening to Hardly Committed. TJ Walker, Nick Roush, and a surprise cameo from Trevor Kelsey. Merry
should I go?